Moncrief on News Talk.
The White House isn't the only place where Donald Trump wants to build a ballroom. His company has also secured permission to build one at his Trump Dunebag resort, but not yet. First, the company must present a management and conservation plan for the Vertigo Augustier, a tiny snail that is protected under the EU Habitats Directive. It's not known what the president makes of this requirement, but we can presume that the snail is pretty happy. But how does that work and how is it enforced? The environmental John Gibbons has a few thoughts on this. Afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Is there any detail on how something like that is enforced?
Well, I mean, as you say, this is covered under the EU Habitats Directive. And probably the first thing I'd say is it's just as well we have the EU giving us these rules in the first place, Sean, because as I think we know, if it was left to national government and to many local authorities, many of these protected species would have long since disappeared, unfortunately. So we have some EU Habitats Directive protection for the Vertigo Augustior species. And this particular, if you like, process didn't just start with Trump. It's actually been going on at this resort for about 25 years. So Friends of Irish Environment have been fighting the battle and holding the line to have this species protected at that site. And what they found, for example, in more recent times, is that there's been what they call a rapid continuing decline from 133 snail shells sampled on the golf course in 2024 to only 51 last year. So this is a species that's in decline. And the issue really is, how do we go about protecting it? And obviously, many of your listeners might be a tiny bit sceptical at the idea of a Trump-owned resort being responsible for nature protection, given that he's taken a scythe to environmental regulation within the US. So to your question, ultimately, this comes down to organisations like the National Parks and Wildlife Service to enforce protection of endangered species. It is very difficult, particularly when they're small little creatures like this. It is difficult. And the best thing we can do really is to, I suppose, you rely on people on the ground watching out for it. We need continuous monitoring. And the key thing here is, and this applies for the local authority down in Clare, they can't just be steamrolled by this hotel and its owner into rolling over on this. They have to allow continuous monitoring of the snail population to make sure that this development and other developments, for example, how they cut the grass down there, doesn't negatively impact on this snail population.
Yeah, no, because the thing about the EU Habitats Directive is that the Commission has criticised Ireland quite strongly before for not paying that much attention to it.
Absolutely. And as I say, Sean, without it, we'd have nothing. For some reason, Irish people, well, many Irish people, and particularly the Irish political system, simply doesn't care about nature or wildlife. It's an incredible blind spot in our country. I don't know where it comes from exactly, but we really have a huge blind spot when it comes to nature protection. Oftentimes, nature protection is seen as anti-development or even anti-rural, which is a very strange idea. But as a result, nature protection is constantly a losing battle. But you're absolutely correct. I mean, we see, for example, from the Natura 2000 Habitats report shows that Ireland is one of the most nature-depleted countries in the entire European Union. So we've already lost countless species and we've lost huge numbers. We know, for example, in Ireland that farmland bird populations in the last 30 years are down about 60%. These are unbelievable declines. And in case anybody thinks, you know, who cares about small snails and all the rest, it's very important, Sean, to remember that these are critical components of natural ecosystems that predate humans, not by thousands of years, but by millions of years. And we need to be far more respectful of the environment that we inherit and should be passing on in good condition. And it's often the case that it's the little creatures like the snails, like the ants, like the worms that hold the system together. And unfortunately, they often end up under the wheels of what we choose to call progress.
Yeah. Now, there's an odd thing that seems to happen, though, that, you know, pandas and eagles and that kind of stuff, the sexier kind of symbols of, and that's an unfortunate choice, but the sexier symbols of nature, people get more exercised about protecting them, but not snails.
That's correct. There's a phrase for it, Sean. It's called charismatic megafauna, right? Which is exactly what you've just described. And essentially, it's easy. Like the World Wildlife Fund, for example, their logo is a panda. And of course, the reason for that is it's the one type of bear that probably won't kill you, right?
Yes.
So we sort of infantilize nature a little bit in order to get people to love it. And of course, say in Ireland, for example, there has rightly been great concern about the poisoning and destruction, say, of eagles and other, again, charismatic large creatures like that, predators and so on. And again, they're easy to see. It's easy to understand and explain where they fit into the ecosystems. It's much more difficult when you're right down at microscopic level, right down to the worms and the nematodes, the snails, the slugs. These are also functioning parts of an ecosystem, but unfortunately, they're not very glamorous. They're a bit slimy, and it's very easy to be dismissive of them. In fact, I seem to remember our former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern sneering about some road development being held up by what he called the snails and the swans. So it is very much a thing in Irish life that politicians very rarely get criticised when they slag off nature protection, and they very rarely lose votes, it seems, which is the really unfortunate part, over nature destruction. And it is a funny thing, Sean. I've often puzzled about this, why we in Ireland, compared to so many people across Europe, we know, for example, that when their surveys have been done of people's connection to nature, in Ireland, we're right down the bottom of the international tables when it comes to people's connection with nature. And it is a funny one, because we sell ourselves as a green country and, you know, we sell the Origin Green idea. Yet back home, there's very little sort of grow for the natural environment. And I think a lot of that, I don't know whether it's our education system, whether it's our political system, whether it's, I don't know, but it's something that we're sort of, and of course, they say that, you know, if you don't kind of love something, it's very hard to protect it. So I think a lot of the losses that we've experienced in Ireland is simply because people don't really care. And you'll have people listening to us this afternoon just with their eyes rolling at the idea of anybody, you know, pausing for a few old snails, you know. But that's unfortunately how these are the tiny components that hold our entire ecosystems together.
John, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was John Gibbons, the environmental journalist there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.